There's Sedano.
Who's that? Sedano?
Yeah.
How you feeling, man?
Much better.
Good.
Thank you. Still positive, but...
well, I'm positive, George, too. I'm always positive.
George, I will tell you that when I got... For people who don't follow George on Twitter, he went into, as we call it in the NBA, health and safety protocols.
Yeah.
He tested positive for COVID last week. And, George, I...
By the way, we have all tested negative.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad, because we were all in the same room.
Yeah, we were very good about calling everybody. And I got a test right after you called me, and Mason and I both missed it. So thank you for letting us know.
Yeah.
But, George, I tested, even though I didn't have symptoms after a couple of days, it took me 8 days to test out.
Yeah.
So hopefully it won't take you that long, but you don't be surprised if it does. It may take you seven, 8 days. You're feeling better, though, right?
Oh, 100%. So within like 3 days, I started to feel more normal again. The first day and a half was pretty rough, and I don't think my voice has since recovered. I don't know if you can tell the
difference. You sound okay-ish.
Yeah.
Okay-ish.
Yeah.
Okay-ish.
Okay-ish.
Ish. Yeah. So why work with Beto? Like, why, go down this road?
Nobody's left.
Yeah. Everyone's because you're the last.
Well, they tried.
I know my role.
They tried Momo. They tried Clinton. Cap is obviously
DeMarco.
Out.
DeMarco. They tried.
Yeah. Tried the, you know,
both
the Kamenetskis
called out.
Beto, you would be above all these people on my phone.
I know my role, and I also know where I belong.
I think they tried David Singer, apparently.
David Singer was on the list. Yeah, a lot
Dr.
of people
Clapper.
Tried.
Dr. Clapper.
Would be
he was in
co-host.
So, Sedano, biggest surprise of the playoffs for you is what? New Orleans?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And look, New Orleans is good. Like, if you're Zion, you know, granted, if you can get back on the court, right? You look at that team, everyone's already penciling Zion into the Knicks. I'm like, why would I want to go to that dumpster fire at the Garden when I've got a good team in front of me?
Right. And I wonder, like, now I wouldn't play him because they seem to have figured something out. But he
I'm talking about for beyond. Yeah. I'm talking about for beyond this season. Yeah, absolutely. Because they're good. Like, David Griffin went from being the GM most on the hot seat over the last few months.
Yeah, they started 1-12.
Right. And, you know, to now being the guy that you look at and be like, wow, that guy hit pretty much everything everyone criticized him about for the most part.
All right, so Mason, Beto, you and Sedano weigh in on this. Mason, Bergman, and Jorge want to recreate the famous Abbey Road album cover.
Yes, the four of us.
Okay.
With the four of us. I think it's kind of blasphemous.
It's not blasphemous.
I don't. I think it's kind of
hokey. It's been done.
Where's it been done? Where's it been done?
A lot of people. Instagram.
Who does it?
Instagram.
People do it.
People have done
where?
It a lot.
Show me a point. Okay. Show me an example.
Wow.
You're really into this, huh?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I'm holding out, Sedano. What do you think?
So I think it's let me answer Beto's question first. Like, Mason was very 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 accusatory there and very very excited there. What I would say, Beto, is that the issue with Mace is that they have been talking about this for a long time, because I remember listening to you guys talking about this particular situation almost like a month ago.
All right.
By the way, I can't find any Abbey Road.
I just typed into a Google search. Recreating Abbey Road cover, and over 1,000 images came up,
we'll
including The Simpsons.
Yeah, there's a
Homer,
lot. Mace. There are a lot.
And what's Homer's wife? Marge?
Marge.
Marge.
Bart and Lisa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay, Mace.
Jorge, what did you say?
Who cares? We're doing our own.
Who cares?
Jorge, first of all, Jorge, you're too young to know the Abbey Road stuff. Let the old guys do it.
That's all right, man.
That's
come
just
at it.
Jorge wants to recreate the Jim Morrison Doors cover where he's...
Jorge also thinks Roberto and Robert are the same people.
Exactly.
No, forget that.
Humbert and Humberto are the same
exactly.
people.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, Mace, go ahead. You do what you want to do.
Exactly. Are you following us on TikTok yet? Mason and Ireland?
No chance.
A lot of people following us on TikTok now.
Here are the Power Rangers.
You actually
going to
do TikTok, though?
Yes. He's really going to do it.
He's going to be done after 2 weeks.
I mean, if the Power Rangers do it, we should do it too.
Yeah,
just so we're like the Power Rangers.
The Power Rangers.
The
Power Rangers have redone it. Yeah, I'm kind of like you, George.
I can't do the TikTok. Sorry.
Yeah.
The TikTok.
Oh, the TikTok is awesome.
It's great.
It is.
It's great.
You can sit and scroll through TikTok
all day long.
Like, my mom gets recipes off TikTok.
Your mom's on
TikTok. Oh, yeah. No,
my mom's on TikTok. She scrolls through it.
Donna on TikTok.
Donna.
It's more like a Kaplan thing, I think, for us.
Really?
Yeah, you know, he's more into that stuff.
He's outreach. He's in charge of outreach to young people.
He likes taking videos of himself and pictures of himself.
He sure does.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, people dressed as Spider-Man.
Right. Why do you want to do this, Mace?
Hey, Sedano, will you let Kaplan do the $25,000 pyramid?
A bit.
Okay, explain to me why everyone is so upset about this $25,000 pyramid, because I obviously wasn't around. Oh, what happened?
So when you were gone, Kaplan and we did our, you know,
three-hour extravaganza.
Yeah, the nonstop marathon. Mm-hmm. Kaplan came on, and we played $25,000 Pyramid. And it went really, really well between me and John. And then Kaplan said, you guys hate the game, and that's why he had to come on our show to do it, because you and Laura and Lindsay don't want him to do it.
Wait, what's it called?
I think so. $25,000 Pyramid?
Yeah, the old game.
It's $1 million. Yeah.
So anyway, I never said I didn't want to do it. I just made fun of him because I've known Scott for over 20 years. And I'm like, you've been doing that bit for 20 plus years. Like, you know, I get it.
The old ones are the good ones.
Can we do something different was my question.
Oh, let's do a show from 1974? Good job. There it is.
I mean, it was like 1997, but whatever.
I'm looking at the $100,000
Pyramid. $100,000 Pyramid. There you
debuted
go.
Debuted in 1973. There you go.
But you guys are great at the games. The games are your thing.
Yeah, we do. He says you guys need a game thing. And I said, no, you'd be stealing that from us to have a game thing, don't you think? I mean, we've all got our things here. Like, you know, we've got Jump Ball.
We did a fun game.
You've got Radio Tinder.
So, Greg, when Greg and I and Laura were doing the midday show during the height of the pandemic,
yes.
Like just the height of the height of the pandemic,
that was some
when there were
slow times.
Greg and Laura and I did a game that was, it was some slow time. We did a fun football game that Greg, you know, came up with all the questions, and it was basically like you were matriculating the ball down the field. It was kind of like, I guess, like college football overtime rules. Right. Yeah. Like college football overtime rules where you start at the 30. And people were into that. Like, I think that would be different. Like, because it's not like the game show game that you guys are playing.
Right.
Right. Hey, Sonano, changing subjects. Do you have any feel for who the Lakers are looking at for a coach? I don't. I really don't.
So I think the Lakers. Okay, look. If I had to guess, and again, this is random, reckless speculation, okay? This is not me saying anything, I know anything. This is me recklessly speculating.
Yes, reckless speculation.
That's our favorite kind
he's in I know. The
league. Hang on a second.
He's in the league. He knows.
This is our reckless speculation sound.
What is your
reckless speculation, George Sedano?
Let's go.
So my reckless speculation is that if Team LeBron would prefer perhaps a coach like Nick Nurse, whereas I feel like Team Lakers would like a coach who probably is less expensive, doesn't cost them draft picks, and they could probably control some more.
So did
that's
you,
just me.
But so, did you come up with a name, or you were just ruling out a name?
I mean, that name, I mean, okay, if I were guessing, like, I don't know, a Lionel Hollins type, someone who's been out of the league for a minute, you know what I mean? Like, who's already been part of the staff, that makes some sense. You know, I'm big on Juwan Howard. I don't know if he falls into any of those categories.
I'm going Sam Cassell.
Sam Cassell would be a good one. Yeah, but Sam Cassell.
There's
Lionel
a reason
Hollins.
He's never been a coach.
Well, right? He's 13 years on a bench. He's a great player.
But why
has
he never been a head coach?
Because you have to work your way up. And by the way, he would be more
and the Lakers could control him because it'd be his first job.
Right, he'd be more malleable with this front office.
So you're going to learn how to be a head coach with the Lakers?
A name that keeps getting thrown into some of these mixes is Mark Jackson. What do you think?
Yeah, we talked about it. You and I talked about it the other day when I was a couple weeks ago now. Yeah, look, I think Mark deserves a second chance. I don't think there's any question about that when you look at the success that they had prior to his dismissal in Golden State. I mean, they were a team that was a lottery team that was a 52-win team after that. So I do think he knows how to coach. So I think he deserves another opportunity. I don't know if it's going to be the Lakers or not, but that would fall into the category of probably someone you cannot control, is my guess.
Right. You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, KRDC Pasadena, Los Angeles, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Yeah, it also calls into question how important references are.
What do you mean reference? Oh, you mean people say
Mark.
About you. Sure.
Yeah, because if you talk to the players.
Well, yeah, why was he out?
Well, if you talk to the players at Golden State, you talk to Clay about Mark Jackson, and he'll say great things about him. The players loved him. The people outside the organization are what, I think, brought him down.
But how long ago was that, too, where he was
the coach? 2014.
Yeah, right? And so, Betty, he hasn't been given another opportunity since then. But I'm kind of like you, Sedano. I would hope he would have learned if that was the case and would apply that if he got another opportunity. Because if you judge him on wins and losses, he had a pretty good record.
Yeah, he did have a good record. There was something
but
else
going on.
It's
going to
be
his show
here.
Too, right? If he comes, but
here,
his show.
Here's the thing. And I don't get it. Like I get not going after like a Nick Nurse. Okay, I get that. Masai Ujiri is going to tell you, all right, give me those two draft picks.
Sure, he is.
You know what I mean?
Maybe,
like that,
maybe more.
Give me the 27. Give me the 29.
Right. So I get that. But you probably, if you're going to maximize a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis on it, in theory, you probably need an experienced head coach, one who is probably a good tactician like Nick Nurse is.
Well, I don't... And taking your point and a step further, George, if that's what your priority is, maximizing LeBron, your draft picks in 27 and 29 don't matter that much anyway.
They right? do and they don't, John, because, you know, let's say LeBron plays another 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Then those picks are going to come into play. Then they're really going to come into play because you're probably not going to be all that good after he's gone.
Mm. Right, but I'm just saying that's how you justify it. If you,
I get it.
Nick
that's
Nurse
why they
is your that, guy, then yeah. that's how you justify it.
Beto, are you going to say anything here or are you just going to let everybody else talk? Because hey. You're a co-host. You're supposed to be full-fledged.
I don't even know.
Wow, look at you.
Hey, I will. I will save the good stuff for the Sedano Show.
Yeah,
wow,
this is the Sedano
look at that.
Show. It's 3:59. We've moved into Sedano Show territory.
So
now,
when do you start working?
What's that? Listening.
When do you start
did you
working?
Already did,
I did
the
listening
ID,
to,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Give us something better.
I mean.
Got nothing?
This is the reason I get called last.
Last in line. All right.
Last in line. So I got Starbucks. I'm good.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about. Actually, you know what? Weirdly, I want to ask you about Al Pacino.
It's his birthday today.
It is his birthday today.
Do you know that I saw
take
Al Pacino?
It away, Sedano.
Do you know I saw Al Pacino
on,
live?
What do you
at
mean
the
live?
Pasadena Playhouse?
Doing what? Shakespeare.
He was playing Tennessee Williams. He was playing Tennessee Williams in
wow.
a play.
Wow. See, that's the thing about Pacino. It does underrated because he does a lot of stage stuff. We were talking about five greatest actors of all time. And I think Pacino's in that category, in part because, you know, he made all those HBO movies, which were really good, and he does a ton of stage work. What was he like?
It was incredible to watch because obviously I've grown up loving his work, right? But I think that what I've found, and this is really hard for me to say because I love his work, he's kind of morphed into every character he does is Al Pacino, but with like a different twang or dialect mm-hmm. or whatever. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The landlord.
Any given Sunday, that's the way to
place.
Do it.
On this so, team, we fight for that inch.
Now, you're saying that's not subtle?
So he's
yeah,
that guy.
Exactly.
So he's so doing a streetcar like he's the coach
so
of football.
So when him and Judith Light are playing Tennessee Williams at the Pasadena
Oh, wow,
Pasadena
what a guy.
Judith Light from Who's the Boss?
Oh, yeah. Judith Light's got a real career.
Tony Danza's boss?
Yeah,
when it was at the play was called God Looked Away. I had to look it up real quick in my email where when we went to go see it. Yeah, it was very much that. It was like I was expecting him at one point to go, hooah, like in Scent of the Woman, because it felt like he was just playing Al Pacino playing Tennessee Williams.
It's got to be worth more than just a football game.
Jeez, by the way, when you can mock somebody and, like that is probably not a good
way,
thing.
By the way, I remember saying this years ago on the morning show when I was working with Key and LZ and they got really mad, but you know who kind of does the same thing now in his old age?
Hmm.
Denzel Washington.
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Denzel's subtle.
No, Denzel plays a lot of the same characters.
Yeah.
I actually have a little Denzel right here. Listen to this. This is what he said to the Dodgers.
This is actually really cool.
This is a really cool speech.
I saw that. Yeah,
okay.
I saw it.
Here it is.
You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. I don't care how much money you make, 400, 500, I'm glad you're making it. But you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. I don't care who you are. But you can leave it here. Not just the money, the memories, the joy that you give children, the love that they have and they walk around with your jerseys on. It meant everything to me. As it probably did to a bunch of you guys. Growing up, it meant everything to me to just be... I'm getting emotional talking about it. Just to be one of you guys meant everything. Those kids watch you. They make every move you make. They watch that. I wanted to walk like you guys. I wanted to eat what you ate. I wanted to play like you played. Wasn't as good. And it didn't matter what color you were. I just prayed that you understand the power and authority that you all have. The influence that you have. And I know you do. but never take your gift for granted. It could be taken from you in a second.
There you go.
I like that.
So, real quick, hold on. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
However, if you Google Denzel Washington and Kyle Lowry, you'll find that Denzel ran into the Miami Heat after they were up 2-1 against the Hawks.
Yeah.
And in the lobby of his hotel, and they were staying at the same hotel, and said almost the same thing verbatim.
Come on.
At least
This was a Dodgers
original. No. He actually literally said after, I just spoke to the Dodgers, and said almost the exact same thing, at least the first 30 seconds, almost verbatim.
So he has a speech set up for every team? That's the same.
No, it's saying, the same speech, and then you just change.
It's
the
just insert team name here.
Right.
We all want to be the Heat.
Go right now.
We all want to be the Dodgers.
Go Google Denzel Washington and Kyle Lowry.
Calling him Denzel.
Well, the Heat.
Yeah, because that's what he
said. He came out and said his name is Denzel. It's not Denzel. Right.
Denzel shows up to a Laker game wearing sweats and a hoodie. He can do whatever he wants, man. He's cool.
Yeah, by the way, he also told Jimmy Butler and Kyle Lowry while saying very similar things. That he went to he told the Dodgers, and I remember that part because he said, and I was wearing my Yankee hat when I did it.
Yeah, he's a big Yankee guy. See?
Yeah.
Even though he's in LA.
I mean, still a great
But anyway, my point is
but
this.
You think,
is that
he's, you think he's
Denzel's playing
now.
A lot of the same character, yes.
By the way,
you know who's mastered this? More so than anyone, more than Pacino, more than Denzel, more than anyone? For like 40 years, Tom Cruise has been playing the same character pretty much.
Well, sure, sure. But he does his own stunts.
Right.
Okay.
Tom Cruise, pick a movie, Ireland. Pick a movie with Tom Cruise right now.
Jerry Maguire.
Cocky Agent.
Okay.
Okay. Mission.
Pick another movie.
Mission Impossible.
Cocky, spy. Whatever. International Spy Investigator.
Cocky Spy.
Top Gun.
Cocky
Airplane Pilot.
The most sleeper performance by Tom Cruise of all time. I mean, it is spectacular.
There's only one exception to the rule.
Well, it's not the one you're going to name.
What about All the Right Moves?
No, I was going to say Born on the 4th of July is really the only
exception.
John
was going to say Magnolia.
No.
Oh.
I was going to say
No,
Tropic
because he's playing
Thunder.
A cocky agent there, too.
Oh, Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder, where he plays studio head.
Right. Wait, what about Cocktail?
Cocky Bartender.
Cocky Bartender.
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, I mean, what are we talking about here? Tom Cruise played the same character for 40 years.
Brian Brown was ahead of his time, Lindsay, in Cocktail because
such a great movie.
He lived on a boat.
Yes.
And that's what people are doing now. The taxes are so high in Los Angeles County.
Right.
People are just going to live on boats. Beto, let's go get a couple of boats. Well, we could laugh all the way to the bank.
I go back to your line of we're all going to marry, might as well marry rich. That's what he did.
God, I'm so mad. I married.
Yeah, so I mean,
I use your lines on kids all the time, John.
Well, Beto, what's the most important thing I ever taught you?
This young kid who I mentor right now, he's a high school senior, he plays golf. He golfs with me all the time. Don't let school get in the way of your education.
Exactly. Best piece
of advice.
I'm
not sure that's a good message.
Don't
kidding
let
me?
School interfere
not
with
sure
your
that's
education.
A good message. Is that a good message?
The kid wants to play golf professionally. Right. Why go to class when you should be...
So,
don't you think you need a backup plan?
No. Nah. In the case of this kid, so let's say a professional golfer's in town.
Right.
All right, let's say Phil Mickelson's in town.
Sure.
And he says, hey, kid, I want to take you to go play golf. But the kid has a full day of class.
Yeah.
Do you go to class or you go play golf?
You can blow off class for a day.
Exactly.
Right. But you're still back at class the day after.
Correct. Don't let school interfere with your education. Well,
you can learn all right, if you view it
how many
that
times
way
did you go to the radio station instead of go to class?
Many, daily, many, many times. Yeah. I led the league in cutting classes.
There it is.
Yeah.
Bowling Green's.
By the way, Mace, did you see the message I sent you the other day? The president of ESPN is right in line with you passing a new legislation here at the company.
Yes.
Where we are being... We're adding, not only do we have sick days and we have
personal
days,
and we have vacation
personal days.
Days.
We
now
have,
we've
we
got
have Mason days.
No, Ireland, wait. Jimmy Pitaro, who I love, you know, thank
me too.
You, Mr.
I'm
Pitaro.
Such a big Jimmy fan.
Okay. He just sent out an email that we now have 2 recharge days
what?
At the company.
Yep.
I bet you Amanda will find a way not to give them to us.
May the 27th and August 1st.
Well, they're coming
from
the president.
The idea is...
Amanda will say it doesn't apply to you clowns.
The idea is that you can enjoy a shared time off experience, allowing teams to disconnect from work, emails, and calls.
Wait, Bergman, are you going
to
give
us... Why would they apply to us? We don't... They shouldn't apply to us.
Why? We work for ESPN.
You're not going to show up one day just because for a recharge day?
No, no.
No, yeah, it's legitimately a day.
I know.
Don't come in.
It's a company holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
The company has given it to you off those 2 days.
It's away from being on the phone, away from being on your emails.
No, but don't be on your microphone.
No, but it's just don't do that. He says you get to take the day off.
Yeah.
May 27th. Get that down.
All right, I'm ready.
Email, Greg.
So May 27th, 1 to 4, I'm ready.
And I know I can see all of you here. I'm here. Normal.
1 to 4, May 27th, I'm in. Yeah. Beto and anybody.
did you not get the email?
I did get the email.
Oh, okay. Because so I sent it to Mason. Because I said, Mace, this is your kind of legislation.
Well, here's I think.
Hey, you earned those, Mace.
I'm a big believer that unplugging is a really good thing.
But you don't unplug.
Unless it's from fantasy
baseball. You just added TikTok. When are you going to unplug?
I've unplugged for a week at a time.
So
for a week at a time.
Mason's been selling this spiel forever. One time he goes, Ireland, I'm unplugging next week. The next week I'm not going to be available. And I go, wow, I can't imagine doing that, but good for you. And so Ramona's filling in for Mace. It was one of his vacations. And I say to Ramona on like Wednesday of that week, you know, it's pretty amazing what Mason's doing. He's completely disconnecting from everything electronic. Mm-hmm. And Ramona, without Mr. Beat, goes, I made a fantasy baseball trade with him 15 minutes ago. So you obviously didn't connect. And I asked you about it.
So
you
disconnect from work.
Well, there are some things work. I can't completely disconnect
But, I mean, you
from.
Can't quit
Have you ever just
baseball?
Turned off your phone for a weekend?
Oh, yeah. I'm not a big phone user, I'll be honest.
But all the apps.
Well, no, not like calling. You don't call people.
But
I mean,
using the apps
either,
on your phone.
I can't remember if I told this story on the air or off. Did I tell the Bill McDonald story on the air?
I don't know.
All right, so last game of the season, George, was when?
You will now.
Yeah, April 10th.
What's up, Billy Mack?
Yeah, Billy Mack's the greatest. April 10th is the last game, Lakers at Denver.
Yeah.
And Stu is making fun of Billy that he never, ever doesn't have his phone in his hand. Like, he'll call games with the phone is in his hand, so if he gets a text.
I've seen that.
Like, Billy just, you know, that's his lifeline. So Stu goes, you know, he's never, ever not with his phone. I go, Billy, I'll give you $100 if you give me your phone, lock it. I won't do anything to it, but I'm going to put it right here in my pocket, and I will hand it back to you after the game. And he goes, $100? I go, yeah, right now. He goes, no. I go, $200. He goes, no. I go, $300 right now.
What? You're just throwing out $300.
$300 right now.
This is why I'm Team Ireland.
If you will give up your phone. And Stu looks at me, looks at Billy, he goes, you give me $5, I'll give you my phone. And Billy wouldn't do it.
No, he didn't do it.
For $300.
Just for the game?
Just for the game. Wow. He goes, no, I need it.
I need to text him during games now. I'll text Michael during games.
He'll text you back.
MT's quick at texting
I'll give
back.
You my, I could use the money.
No way.
Michael, my phone.
No way.
To me, like, if I said, give me your phone during the show, you'd
Are you
go here.
Have it, take it home.
No, yeah, no way, Mace. You would die, Mace.
$300 here.
No, he would do it.
Bucks.
You know why?
He has iPad. He has other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have iPad. I have computer,
you have everything connected?
I've got everything. Sure.
Of course. You got to keep them disconnected.
All right. So, Sonano, what's coming up today?
I mean, we got Beto. Craziness in too.
Exactly.
Excellent.
I'm going to make up all kinds of crazy things and theories and, like, talk about the Padres like Kaplan does.
No, don't.
He is Captain Padre.
Yeah, the Padres could barely.
By the way, look at all you see all those fights.
Yeah, I know.
So that stupid to get in a fight at a game.
Padres are
Stop
so.
That.
Padres fans are so stupid.
You know the Dodger fans didn't start it.
I'm just saying.
Why we gotta get the bad rep? I already went in a rant on Twitter earlier, so I'm mm-mm.
There you go, Laura. I'm with Laura. By the way, Mason takes a fan to a local baseball game next Wednesday against the Giants.
I'm available.
Yeah. You want to go? You're in.
Speaking of fighting at baseball games.
Yeah.
No.
With Mason?
Yeah, Giants and Dodgers, exactly.
Yeah, all right.
All right, we're out of here. Coming up next is Sedano and Cap with Beto filling in today. Back tomorrow at 1, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I guess I'll do the cap thing. Yeah! Bow, ba-da, bow.
Don't do that.
Bow, ba-da, bow.
Don't do that.
Beam, boom, boom. bum, beating bunk.
Why you gotta make it all Latino about there, man?
Boom, beating beep. What's that?
You're making it all Latino. I'm waiting for Hector Lavoe to come out or something like that.
Don't make me laugh too much. I can't.
So you're really sick?
Well, my voice isn't back yet, that's for sure.
You sound good, man. You sound good.
I mean, it's very dry. I got to drink a lot of water. I'm going to be coughing a lot, but I'm here.
You got COVID? I
did.
Dang. First time?
After 2 years, the Rona finally got me,
Wait,
bro.
All that traveling you've been doing?
All these NBA, years.
All that?
And it finally got me.
No way. And you've been very careful. And you got it in studio?
No, I don't know where I got it. I mean, I don't know yet. Like, I could have been on when I was on the road that week.
No, I had to be. All those planes that you were going through, Miami.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah, you didn't have enough cafecito, man. That's what it was.
I had my mask pretty much everywhere. I don't know where the hell it happened, but it happened. So,
yeah, that sucks. All right. Yeah. Are your lungs burning up?
No. The first day and a half, bro, it was for real.
Sucks.
It was all out. You had it.
Yeah, I got it early on, and it sucked. I was driving.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
Oh, no, yeah. And then you're breathing. And you, as an athletic guy who likes to go on his hikes out there, that's going to be a while before you're actually going back to your normalness.
I tried to do one today.
No, don't do it.
It was tough.
No.
I had to stop.
Yeah. You're not. Yeah. You're probably another month before you can actually get back to feeling the Sedano stuff.
Yeah, but I'm like a Latino hardhead. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going
to. You don't need to say Latino. We already know you're a hardhead.
Yeah. So, I mean, that just makes it extra is what I'm saying.
Take it easy, man.
No, I have. I was just bored, dude, in my house.
Yes, because you don't know how not to work.
Right.
You've been working since you were a kid. You don't know how to relax. You don't know how to take mental break days.
I do.
You don't know how to take Mason days.
The recharge days. No, that's not true, because I'll give you an example. Like, a couple years ago, when I took time off, you asked how long you spent off of, like, your phone. Granted, texts or whatever, but I was off social media for like 10 days.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, I can do that. Like, you can tell me I don't have to get on Twitter. I'm out. Like, trust me, you won't find me there.
Yeah, I'm okay with, like, getting rid of that. But, you know, we're always working because we love what we do.
Correct.
It's not a real job, per se. Like, we're not breaking our back. And shout out to all the people who actually are doing that.
Who actually do have to work hard. Yeah,
and, like, that's... Yeah. You know, it's like we look forward to talking about sports. So it's like it sucks when you just have to sit around and do nothing.
Yeah, well, no one likes to be just kind of home and doing nothing.
I have a lot of friends like that can just do nothing. Especially when you get into your 40s, man.
No, bro, I can't. I'm in my 40s, so I can't do it.
Yeah,
so,
because you got you're young, man. You're young. You're like I said, you look forward to it. You're like, I want to go do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. That's it. But nah, I'm getting to that phase now where it's like. Yeah, you know what? I'm okay with not leaving the house today. I'm okay.
Oh, no, I'm okay with that. Like, I'm like un viejo in the sense of, like, you won't find me too many nights being like, even when I have, like, friends in town, like, yo, bro, we're going to go out for dinner and drinks and all that. I'm like, I'll do the dinner, you know, and then maybe a drink, and that's about it.
Like, I can't remember the last time I went to, you know, when everybody used to have, like, all friends' birthday dinners or anything like that.
Can't remember
the last time. Because people know Bethel's not leaving. Bethel's not going. Because Bethel doesn't do any of that.
It's not my thing anymore.
No. So don't invite me to group outings. Nah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm good. I'll send a gift.
I don't even do that. I'm okay with not having friends anymore. I'm good. I'm good with that, man.
You know, I had this conversation with my wife for years, okay, about that. So she always used to say, like, why is it that you don't want, like, new friends? And I said, I got plenty of friends. Like, why do I need new ones?
Yes. Right?
I do.
You have
I've known you for a long time.
Yes.
Now. You know what I mean? Like, do I need, you know, more than like you guys right now?
You know what? So you
and
have
my old friends? Like, I feel like I've added plenty of friends.
You have the young kids. So does this go on with you? Because you got kids in like preschool, kindergarten, around that age, right?
So, go ahead. Go ahead. I know what you're going to ask, but go ahead.
Have now become, because my kids are older, so they've now become the part of, hey, they go to like these parties, and it's like, hey, the school party.
I don't do parties.
Well, it's like the school party. Like, hey, Jose, here's Juan. Both of you guys like golf. You guys are now friends. Like, that's, the wives are like setting up the husbands for new friends, and it's like, they're like getting in the corner. Yeah, right? So, I know exactly you're no, but.
I'll give you an example, okay? I, in like a positive way, like I'm okay. My wife understands this now by this stage,
that
it's just
knows.
Like, hey, it's the ABCs of me, okay? Like, that's just the reality. She knows who she married, right? Like, I think that's part of it. So I'll give you an example. Like, I'm okay, like, interacting with other parents and families. Like, I was telling the story that my daughter played basketball this year at 7 years old for the first time, and we interacted with a bunch of the parents. And, you know, my wife is very close with a lot of the lady friends. And, you know, I met some of the dads or whatever. And I was in and out, hanging out, let the kids have fun, and I'm in and I'm out. But I'll give you an example. So there's – my daughter has these friends. They're twins. And this is a positive interaction. I'd never taken my daughter to a Laker game, right? So I got tickets to the Laker game, and I got 4 tickets for my wife to take my daughter and these 2 twin girlfriends of hers. And, you know, after the fact, we dropped them off, and, you know, we stayed at the – we went to the house, and the parents were like, hey, do you guys want to have a glass of wine? Sure, yeah, no problem. And we hung out for, like, a little while, like, maybe an hour, and just hung out. Like, I'm okay if it's organic. Uh-huh. But don't force me to be friends with
somebody
because –
You don't need a play date at 40.
Right. Correct. Yeah, exactly. I don't need that.
See, but
yeah.
You went – have you gone back? No. You're not.
No, well, I haven't gone back because, I mean, I just haven't had time. Like, sure.
You're like me, George. I'm the dad for my daughter's soccer team. I'm the dad that sits way away from everybody else. Don't even know I'm there.
I'm not opposed to being interactive, and I'm not antisocial. I'm
but
just like.
Wait till they find out you're George Sedona from TV and they want to talk sports.
Mm.
Mm. Hey, how about the Lakers?
Yeah.
Mm.
No, I'm always good about that stuff, though.
Yeah.
I'm generally, like, I'm good. Like, I don't, I mean, obviously, it's the last thing I want to talk about. But it's like, I mean, if we're being honest. Yeah. But I am also, let me tell you, there's not a person that will walk up to me, and, you know, maybe there's someone out there, but I doubt it, that has come up to me and asked me about the Lakers and has gotten my attention, or the Dodgers, or whatever sports question. I will answer your sports question every time.
Yeah, of course. You're fun. You're cool about it.
But I don't want to sit there and, like, do a talk show.
Yeah.
But people are respectful, dude. They realize you're on the move. You got stuff to do. You're going places. They're going. They're busy, too, just like you. You know what I mean? Nobody's got all day to talk.
Yeah, but when you go to your daughter's basketball game, and if you're a regular fan and you're not coaching like you were last year, you know, like, yeah, you know what? I just want to be in the corner sipping my drink. Leave me alone.
I agree. Well, that's it. I like to just kind of be, I do. Michael's that way too, though.
Oh, Michael, when I started doing play-by-play years ago, I would do high school games and we would do Clay Thompson's games.
Right.
And you would see Michael Thompson in the corner of the gym away from everybody with the camcorder.
Yeah.
And that
was
it. And when the game was over, Michael was gone. You would never see him on the floor with Clay or anything like that. That's what I learned. And I asked Michael about that. He said, when you have kids, just let them have their moment, get away, don't even talk to them after the game, and then talk to them at home. And that's where I learned it from Michael. So now when people are like, damn, Beto, what's in the cooler at 8 a.m.? You know, a little something. We're all right.
A little something is good.
Tequila
Mandala. I'm like that. I say hi, let them know I'm there, I'm in, I'm out, and then, I don't like to get too
It's just
involved.
Funny. Like, friends were talking about this the other day. They're like, oh, like, our wives are making play dates for the kids
and
for the husbands.
Ladies, if you're listening, okay, don't do that. Yeah,
it's like, not fun. You like golf? Hey, be friends.
That's like, imagine if it was the other way around.
Oh, no chance.
You know what I mean? Like, Lindsay, have you ever been in a situation where it's been the other way around, where someone's like, hey, you know, you should meet my girlfriend because you're both girls.
Yes. I mean,
that's not fun, right?
Even like my roommate was like, oh, you should hang with my one friend because she's also a girl who likes sports. And I was like, no.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, yes. But yes, that has happened.
That's not fun. Now, Laura is a social butterfly. I feel like she would be okay with any of this. Oh,
it depends.
Yeah, like, you would.
No, I think it just honestly depends because I've been in a situation where I was like, yeah, like totally, I'll meet your friend. Then you meet the friend, you're like, I shouldn't have said yes to this. So I've learned to just be like, sure, if we're in the same, you know, like, let's not plan something and we just happen to be and we click, cool. But if not, no.
Right. Yeah. But look,
setting
just don't
up
set
like friends, like friend dates or whatever.
It's weird.
It is weird. It's like a blind date, a weird blind date.
Yeah.
Like, it's like weird, awkward expectations and stuff.
That's the perfect way to describe it.
I don't
a weird
like
blind date
and
with
I'm
a perfect stranger, mm-mm. And there are no benefits to this.
Yeah. No. Now, if you want to give me free golf, hey, I'll be your friend all
there
day.
There you go.
Let's go. After that,
I heard you're ready to get your PGA card.
Dude, you know what? I started taking this serious, and that sucks because now I keep score and I actually care. I miss my just getting loaded and having a cigar moments, man. That's better. I'm going to go back to that.
I haven't started to play golf.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Because of that, because I will want to play.
Because you're competitive.
I am.
And you want to win.
Yeah.
See, no. I just have no job, so I'm good. I have plenty of time during
you
the middle of the
week. You have like 10 jobs.
No. Like, people are like, oh, do you want to golf on weekend? No, the kids. But during the week, I have nothing to do during the week.
Right.
I drop off my daughter at school, and from 8 to 3:30, I got nothing to do. I'm good.
So you should be pretty good at golf by now, huh?
If I cared, I would be. But I don't. I just like having fun. I just want to be a golf influencer.
Started.
That's it.
I just
want the Air Maxes, and that's it. That's all I care about. Look good. That's it.
Now, speaking of what people care about, you mentioned people ask me about the Lakers. I've actually got – it's funny, as I watch these playoffs, there is one thing that has stood out to me about the Lakers. And it's basically a very, you know, old-timey saying of be careful what you wish for.
Mm.
And I think that the Lakers fell into that trap this year, much like the Brooklyn Nets. We'll get into that in 3 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
My life, and I dial my baby's number every time. What a great jam. I don't know how old I was. Probably not very old when this song came out.
Nine or ten, probably.
Yeah, I was just like third grade, fourth grade, sounds right.
That's a jam right there.
Yeah.
That's what even if you didn't hear it when it came out, you heard it later on, you're like, oh, that's good.
Yeah. That scene from Heat is fantastic. It's the second best scene in the movie other than the bank robbery scene, which the bank robbery scene was inspired by a real-life scene that I guess had happened here many, many years ago, so...
And you like how during Crosstalk, where they're talking about Al Pacino, you know, neither of them mentioned Scarface, but if you mention Pacino for any Mexican or Latino, right?
Oh, yeah.
Scarface right away.
Comes to one. Although, I always have a beef with Scarface because...
As a Cuban in Miami.
There were no Hispanic people in the movie. Not even, like, forget about Cubans. There wasn't a Mexican. There wasn't a Puerto Rican.
Well, you had
there
two.
There was one. One. There was one. Yeah. What's Chi-chi. His face? No, the guy who...
Manolo?
Manolo, yeah.
Nah, there
he's
was a,
Cuban.
Yeah.
He was the only one. And then, but, like, damn, bro, there's all these alleged Cuban people. You're not, I mean, forget about Cuba. Just give me a Mexican. Give me a Guatemalan. Give me an Honduran. Yeah, give me a
you know,
give me somebody.
Minor details, bro. Minor
Puerto
details.
Rican. Dominicano. Somebody.
Yeah. You know, some of those scenes were filmed down here by the docks in Long Beach. So,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool to see some of that. But, yeah, there was a, remember the guy Chi-Chi who had a bit role when they went to the bank? He was on Felipe Esparza's podcast recently, and he was telling all kinds of stories about it. So it was cool to hear.
That's a long time ago now. That movie's like 40 years old.
40 years old, yeah. And it still gets played. And you'll see that poster on every young guy's.
People love it.
Oh, yeah.
People love it.
That's that cult classic.
I heard that they were going to try to do like a remake of that movie.
Nah, you can't do that.
Yeah. Somebody wrote that. I forgot who it was. Maybe like a year ago they were talking about that.
A remake of that?
Yeah, but it would be like, you know, because that's also a remake, technically. Scarface, that movie was an original, originally done, like, I believe the original was, like, in the 30s.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Look at that. Yeah. You learned something today.
See? Always learn something with Sedano. Yeah. But so, I knew that would get you fired up because, you know, the Cuban in Miami, you're like, wait, no, we're not there.
Yeah.
And the accent, I know the accent probably gets you mad.
Yeah. His name is Stephen Bauer, the Manolo, but you want to know his real name is? Stephen Bauer's real name?
What you got?
Rocky Echevarria.
Oh! Wait, why are you going to say Rocky? You can't even just say Rocky? It's going to be Rocky.
Rocky. Because you got to say it with like the Latino accent.
Yeah,
it's kind of like when I had Laura call her parents and ask them how they say peanut butter in Spanish.
How do you? It's peanut butter, right? How do you say it?
No, they were trying to say it in English. But
it's like saying pizza and pizza.
Yeah. Peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter. So, and that's exactly what happened. So, it was both peanut butter. So, Laura's mom got woken up and everything. As a matter of
you
fact,
really put her mom on the air?
No.
Well, no, we didn't put her on the air.
Okay, good. Don't do that. You're gonna get
we didn't put her on the air. So, anyway, real quick. So, I'm watching the Nets play right now. And this thing's a disaster, clearly. So, it got me thinking. Be careful what you wish for, Beto. And the reason I say that is, and look, anyone, you know this because you know me, and Lindsay and Laura know this because they know me, and anyone listening to the show knows that this is how I feel. I am 99.99999% of the time, I'm going to side with employee over employer. I am rarely going to side with the man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
so that, I mean, listen, sometimes to a fault, okay? But, you know, it's rare that I'm gonna ever side with management. And in this case, I'm not really siding with management
either. Yeah, because you go up against management a lot. You have.
At times, yes. So, excuse me, I have to drink water because my throat is too dry during the recovery.
No, you're about
COVID.
To make a powerful moment right now. Let's go. What you got?
So, anyhow, the reality is this. I am a big believer in sports, okay? I mean, in general, forget about sports, but in general, about collaboration between highly paid employee and management, okay? So whether that's, you know, a basketball player and an ownership group or a football player like a quarterback. Quarterbacks have all reached and grabbed for power now, right?
Okay.
We're seeing Debo Samuel. Even wide receivers are now trying to grab for power.
Especially
and
Debo.
I ain't mad at any of them, okay? So, but what I'll say is this. Be careful what you wish for. Because if you look at it historically, and by the way, this wasn't even started by players, if you think about it. If you think about it, the trying to do too much, right, was started by coaches, actually. If you remember, Beto.
The trying to do too much.
There was a trend of coaches in the NFL and in the NBA, particularly, that wanted all the power.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. They want to be the GM. They want to be in charge of everything.
The head coach, the GM, everything. The president. They want to know what's going on the scoreboard, all the
every,
stuff.
Every
right?
detail, then that kind of went away.
Correct. Because, I mean, Belichick probably still the only person that has it. I guess Popovich is probably one of the few that has it. Not a lot of guys, okay? But there was a lot of guys that tried that and failed miserably.
Doc Rivers tried it with the Clippers.
Correct, okay? So what I'm saying is, this isn't just about athletes in general. These coaches have gone through this same scenario. And I think that sometimes there's only so many minutes in a day, right? Kind of like what you were referring to earlier where, you know, I hate being bored. I'm too active. I try to do too many things. Yeah, there's so many minutes in a day. So if you're trying to be the superstar player, could you have input on game plans? Sure, of course. You're the superstar player. Of course you should be able to read the court and the floor and the game plan as well as anyone. Should you have input on personnel? Sure. You're the one having to play with people, right? Like, of course you should have input. However, if you've been listening to me, particularly over the last couple of weeks as the Lakers disaster has unfolded, I've been consistently saying, if I were the Lakers, and I've been saying this in this, using this phrase, if I were advising the Lakers, I would give them free advice, and that's put more smart people in the room to make decisions together.
Okay? I've been on that. The Dodgers have done that in their front office. They have a lot of smart guys. They were former GMs involved in the decision-making.
Correct. And by the way, the Clippers have done that. Now,
yes,
the results haven't necessarily been there, but they've had much better results than Clippers teams of the past.
Yeah,
that's
They've put themselves in a position to succeed. They just haven't.
Correct. For one reason or another. I mean,
especially when you get to the playoffs, whatever.
I mean, they blew a 3-1 lead, but luck has also played a part in that.
All right.
But, so what I'm saying is when you look at the Nets and KD and Kyrie, and when you look at this Lakers situation, what I'm saying is be careful what you wish for. You want autonomy? Autonomy isn't always what it's cut out to be. It's better to be one of a few voices in the room where you can get actual feedback and pushback, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and kind of have a meeting of the minds, as opposed to trying to rule with an iron fist.
So you want healthy discussion.
Well, look at the Warriors prior to when Jerry West was there. Jerry West, I know there's all these sayings about, oh, Jerry West wouldn't have traded for Clay and I mean, granted, Jerry West wasn't the only person that didn't want to trade Clay for Kevin Love. But, yeah. I mean, that stuff gets propagated that way. Nonetheless, the Warriors have that situation. The Clippers, you can make fun of them all you want. They have that situation. They got multiple people in the room making decisions.
And they got people we don't even know exist in the
Correct.
Rooms.
Like Correct. The Dodgers, as you said, have multiple. The Lakers need that. The Nets,
But the Lakers aren't going to do that. That's not what they've done. The Lakers are still, this is how we've always done it. It's worked out for us in the past. We just go get a bigger name, and it's going to be fine. That's the problem. The Lakers are stuck in the mom-and-pop way of thinking. How long did it take them for them to get an analytics department? And they, from what we know, we don't know that they have a big one, right?
They don't have a big front office in general.
No.
They have one of the smaller front offices.
And they're not spending on that either.
Right. And so when I watch the Nets, to me, it's a cautionary tale. And the Lakers season, both of them. It's a cautionary tale in, again, like, more people is not a bad thing.
Like, but that's,
giving,
like, okay,
giving,
so you're
giving
looking
people
at the Nets,
unilateral,
right?
Giving people unilateral, like a like
so who are you putting the blame on?
Not good.
Are you putting the blame on LeBron and KD or who?
Oh, I mean, this is everybody's at fault because let's take the Nets and Lakers separately for 1 second. If you're the Nets, you're the owner Joe Tsai. I mean, he's new. He doesn't know. You know what I mean? Like whatever. That guy doesn't know what he's doing yet. I mean, he's a great businessman. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but
he's let me throw money at it and it'll work, which is what
right.
I've done in all business.
Being a great businessman is not being a great sports owner. There are two different conversations. And then, you know, Sean Marks, yeah, he learned from the Spurs, but yeah, he's been okay. Like he has, like it's not like I look at Sean Marks and I say, "Oof, that guy, that guy's Sam Presti." You know what I mean? Like he's not that. So, you know, he's fairly new at the job. And then, you know, KD and Kyrie. More so even than anywhere else I've ever seen in sports, really got to kind of rule the roost. You know what I mean? Like where they made a lot, if not all, of the decisions.
Right. Well, what do we always say? It's a players' league, right? The players are going to be the ones making the decisions. And you just said, be careful what you wish for. So when you're looking at this and what's going on, everybody makes a joke. Like, well, who's the GM? Who's doing this? Like, yeah, at the end of the day, you can make the jokes. But when it comes down to the actual business, like who are you really dealing with? You
right.
know, who's really in charge? And that's the problem. You got to have the person who, you know, okay, I'm in charge, but the ego is minimal to where I can listen to people. You got to have people telling you, no, you can't do this. Yes, you can. Like, you got to
right.
have.
There's got to be pushback. Yes, there's got to be pushback. And here's the thing. Again, it's one of these situations where you say to yourself, man, listen, like, you have the.
But are we surprised it worked out like this for either team?
A little. I'm not. I mean, now in retrospect, hindsight being 2020, yeah, I mean, I think that none of us should be surprised. But I think that ultimately, they all have each other to blame. Like, everyone's always looking for who to blame. Oh, I want to blame LeBron. Oh, I want to blame KD and Kyrie. Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. But I'm also saying that Jeannie Buss should be blamed.
Yep.
I'm also saying Rob Pelinka should be blamed.
Yep.
I'm also saying whatever involvement Kurt and Linda Rambis have should be involved in the blame.
I just don't like when the players do the, I just work here. I'm just part of the player.
Okay.
Like, no, stop that.
No, everyone needs to take accountability is what I would say. And by the way, I would say the same thing for the Nets situation, whether it's Sean Marks, KD, Kyrie, Steve Nash, like, all you know, all these guys. But that's, again, it's a cautionary tale. You can't outsmart the league, is what I would say.
Nope.
You can't. You can't outsmart the league. And regardless of whatever sport, if the team that has the more smart people in the room making decisions, as in the numbers, that's the team that generally does pretty well.
Man, I was watching these playoff games yesterday, and all I kept thinking was,
how about tell me the other side because we're up against the
all
break.
Right, go ahead,
I wanted to have a more thorough discussion on this before I open it up.
Upset,
I want to open it up to the audience, too, at 877-710-ESPN about the way those two teams, who were the betting favorites coming into this thing, have completely floundered and, by the way, have very similar stories to tell. So we'll get to that coming up and your story on watching the playoffs next. I actually like pigs in a blanket. Now, I don't like hot dogs all that much, but I like the pigs in a blanket.
Solid.
Because... because I like the croissant crusty stuff flavor or thing on the outside. That's pretty. Honestly, I like that more than the actual. Excuse me.
Little finger food for you, no problem. That's the way to
do it. Yeah, but if I'm at a wedding or some sort of event where they have little pigs in a blanket, I'm in on a couple.
Don't you feel kind of weird though eating a pigs in a blanket when you have a suit on or a tuxedo?
Nah,
not really.
If they're serving it, you know.
Yeah, but I'm judging it. I'm like, you know what? If you're telling me this is a fancy shindig and you're giving me pigs in a blanket, I'm a judge.
Wait, you want to funny? Yeah.
Yes. If you're making me wear a suit and get really, really dressed up, then yes, I want something fancy. Because
like ceviche?
Nah, man. Unless it's Peruvian ceviche, the best in the world. There you go. But no, I don't want the. No. I'm talking about legit. Like, I have to wear a tie where you tell me it's super fancy. Don't give me pigs in a blanket.
My brother had a very super fancy, bougie wedding at, you know, this crazy country club that some NASCAR guy belongs to anyway. And the food that he served at his super fancy wedding was a buffet with chicken fingers, tater tots.
Man, that's the case. I'm wearing shorts and sandals.
They also had regular food, but that was like their appetizers was all like the kids' finger foods.
No, you don't do that. You don't do that. If you're going fancy, you better bring me the fancy food. Because if I'm dressing up for you, wasting a tie, man, I need some pate. Or some stuff that I would
some steak tartare.
Yeah, some stuff that like I want some stuff that I won't ever have normally. You know, I want that kind of stuff. I'm like,
I don't like caviar though,
me
bro.
Me neither.
Oh, let's
that
go.
That stuff is gross.
Oh, caviar. Oh my god.
Gross.
Ooh,
gross. Wee.
No. That's good stuff.
Gross.
Right there.
No.
As long as somebody else pays, I'm good.
No, that's gross.
See, you haven't had fancy caviar, Sedona.
What do you mean I haven't had fancy caviar?
Come on, man.
How do you know what kind of caviar I've had?
Because you don't like it. If it's good, then
No, I've had really
in that 7-Eleven caviar, man. No. We got to get you some good stuff, man.
I've had the good stuff, and it's gross. I don't think it's good.
Back in the day when ESPN used to have the big fancy parties, for the ESPYs when they would have the VIPs, it's the way to do it. Before your time, you missed out. Now you guys get pigs in a blanket.
I don't like caviar anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but give me the good stuff when you go to the wedding, man. You already spent all that money. Might as well give an extra couple hundred bucks.
Funchy, you know, he's crashing your wedding. There you go. He wants a fancy.
Funchy's wedding is going to be, that's going to be a broke wedding, man. That's
he's so mean.
He's not spending money on his wedding. No way. I know the guy.
And he's also, you know, he's trying to cut people out of the list, which I don't blame him.
I'm going. No, I'm going. I told him I'm showing up after the food. I'm going to go just for the cake. And I'm going to be there taking pictures with people like, yeah, man, we love Funch. Because I started with Funch. I taught him how to be a board op back in our day in La Siena, I guess. So he knows what's up. I don't need an invite. I am the ultimate I don't need an invite, but I will show up and make a good time. I will bring a cooler. I am good. I'm ready.
You and DeMarco, man. DeMarco said the same thing when we were making
So at my niece's wedding this summer, my niece Sarah, it was 100 degrees. So I took – and her, my brother's kid, right, they don't drink. So I knew they don't drink. So, you know, Beto had his own cooler. So who was at my table? Everybody.
Wait. So the wedding, you mean they don't drink in the sense that nobody could drink at the wedding?
No,
there was no alcohol.
They just don't drink. So my niece was like, I know some people might want beer, but our family, on this side of the family, we don't drink. So and I told her, don't worry about it. I'll buy 2 kegs. That should be enough. And I, because she recently graduated from Davis a couple years ago, so she was bringing young people down, right? So I knew these college kids are going to want to drink beer, so I bought 2 kegs of cheap beer. But then in my cooler, I had the fancy beers.
The good stuff.
And then I had the tequila mandala, and I had the squirt, and I was having my good old time. So at the wedding, you know, it got delayed a little bit, so I had my cooler. So I went to the wedding party, started handing out beers. That's the uncle I was. And her wedding party, like, Mike, your uncle was so cool. Heck yeah, we had a good old time, man. Oh yeah.
Right.
So invite me. I'm fun.
Invite me. I'm fun. That's your slogan.
Exactly. I won't give a gift. My presence is a gift.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Ay, Dios mío.
Hey.
So you were watching these playoff games.
Yeah, and I was mad.
Why? Why are you mad, bro?
Because I should be working. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's so, you know this, when you're in L.A. and you're in the media, you plan April, May is when you're going to be working, right? Because you're going to be working in the Lakers playoffs. Like,
at the very least.
I've always wanted to go to the Kentucky Derby the first weekend of May. I can't.
Never happens.
Because the Lakers are in the playoffs or I'm working a fight in Vegas. It's just not happening. Like, and this year, like, you know what? I'm watching the games yesterday and I'm looking at Phoenix
I'm looking at New Orleans. Right now, Brooklyn. Like, wait, what's going on? And Laker fans, you should be mad because you deserve better. And then watching former Lakers perform, I get it. You traded them. You had to do it.
I'll get to that in the next segment.
That's perfectly fine. I get it.
I'll get there.
But it's like, man, you're supposed to have the star team playing. Yeah. And then LeBron the other day tweeting about, oh, I'll never want to miss the playoffs again. Like, man, stop it with that. I don't want it. Yesterday I was in a mood. It was a beautiful day. You know, you want to have a couple cocktails, mix it up, and you're hanging out.
It was beautiful. It was warm.
Yeah, I was at my sister's house in Torrance right there in the South Bay. Great time. And I'm like, why are we watching the Pelicans? Like, come on. Like, I was just mad for LA fans. That's what I was fired up
about. Well, listen, I mean, you know.
It was good basketball, but I don't want to watch good basketball. I want to watch somebody in L.A. right?
Well,
if you get
clearly
swept,
right now you're not getting good basketball in L.A., so there's that.
There's nothing. I'm just freaking.
I mean, listen, you think I'm not annoyed? I should have done at least a couple of L.A. games already by now.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, I also got COVID, so there's that. I probably wouldn't have done them either anyway, so nonetheless. But the point still stands that, yes, I selfishly, too, should be working at Crypto.com Arena.
Yeah. It's like I don't need to go cover a Laker game in January. April, May, hopefully June. That's what I care about.
Well, look, and Jeannie used to say it all the time. My dad taught me, like, if you're dark too many April, Mays, and Junes, you know, you get out of the consciousness of the public. You know?
And, you know, a few years ago when I was working at Spectrum, Lakers Channel, I don't know how many shows with me and Chris McGee, Geeter, doing the, hey, projected draft spot with the ping pong balls. And it's like, you talk about TV programming in June, and great job by the producers making it happen. But, like, come on, let's start talking about playoffs and what's going on. And those are the emotions I had yesterday of, like, this sucks for the city. You know, like,
it does suck for the city.
It's like, I just don't like.
But it's why these next few decisions that
huge.
We were just talking about are monstrous.
Huge. You can't, like, mess up.
People don't realize in the moment how these decisions mm-hmm. impact the future. And you know, you mentioned it, and we can discuss it further on the other side. But you mentioned it about Brandon Ingram, right? Because I do want to get into that on the other side, because Laker fans are having some feelings about this now. But, you know, were you willing to sit here and go through the growing pains? That's easy to say now in retrospect, okay? But if we would have been at 10 years with no titles or no playoffs, could you imagine what this town would have been like? No way, dude.
It was getting ugly.
Yeah.
I know we're going to talk about it later, but they always say hindsight is 20/20. Yeah, but
right.
you had your championship, but you knew what you were going to give up. But, man, that guy where you're supposed to be in the playoffs every single year.
Wait, but there was fair criticism about that trade that we'll revisit right now. We're going to do that in 3 minutes.